Rollover Sid Vicious. A look at the major developments in music throughout the 80s, brought to you by British Telecom, answering to you at Christmas time. In part one, Phil Archer rediscovered some early 80s hits, a journey down memory lane that continues now in part two. Tell Johnny Rotten the news.
Late 70s, like Martin Rushent, Steve Lillywhite had worked with many punk rock bands, but he found himself following a very different course in 1980.
I suppose you two were one of the groups I was working with who would become like a, you know, a major force of the 80s, but I don't think anyone really thought that at the time, except maybe Bono.
Just as I am.
And then I suppose I was known as a producer who did guitar bands. I seem to remember having, you know, probably through U2, and then I worked with Big Country and Simple Minds. And at that point, those three bands were thought of as the vanguard of guitar pop and guitar rock.
I've never seen you look like this without a reason. Another promise falling through another season. Smile away from anybody's face, and that's a desperate way to look for someone who is still a child in a big country dream. Stay with you like a lover's voice parts the mountainside. Stay alive. I thought the pain and truth of things that really matter, but you can't stay.
There were yet more people making yet another kind of music. One new band played support to Hazel O'Connor. In the audience, record producer Colin Thurston.
First thing I did was see them play live, long before I ever heard any of their demos. And I couldn't work it out for the life of me. I went to see Hazel O'Connor and there was this band Duran Duran playing. First of all, the name I remembered because I'd seen Barbarella, the film. They just had a way and a style that was different. And when EMI offered me the band, I already automatically knew who they were and what it was about. And I found it a great challenge because it wasn't following any particular style of music or anything that I had known. I think there was a touch of the Bowie influence in there in terms of the dressing up, the way the band used to dress. I mean, Nick Rhodes didn't look unlike Bowie in the way that he did his hair in those days, and in fact he was wearing a bit of makeup and things like that, and sort of talked in a very lazy sort of drawl, which Bowie used to do. But I must admit that certainly started in 1980 with a sort of thump. Well, Kathy was the studio manager of Air Studios, which is where we recorded it. And Cheryl was, I think she was in the accounts department. They wanted some girls to giggle. Well, we tried everything. We got them in the studio. I said, laugh. And they went sort of, ha ha. No, laugh properly, like giggle. Ha ha. Nothing. So I thought, right, something a little bit desperate's got to be done here. So this is actually very true. And Patty will vouch for this. I pressed the talk back and said, look at this, and I pulled my trousers down. And that is the laugh you have. Saying the very beginning is, after their first album, they said world domination by 1984 seems to be a big thing that kept sticking with them, and by 1984 they were in fact the biggest selling band, as a band goes, in the world.
Sid Vicious continues in a moment.